The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette. I am your host. And today with me, I have Randy Kassar. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Glenn.
Randy, I wonder if you could tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So first of all, I'm based in the Silicon Valley, where supposedly the internet got started. And I am a social strategy consultant and real-time marketing consultant for startups and Fortune 500 companies. And I've been in this space for about 20 years, not necessarily social strategy, but online marketing for about 20 years.
Well, I will say I'm slightly jealous because it's about 20 degrees where I am in the Boston area, it's not getting any warmer. So I hope you're enjoying the weather. The thing that always I like to ask people is, how did they first get involved in social media? Because very few people that I talk to started out in social media. That wasn't their main gig. How did you come about getting involved in social media, and at what point did you realize this thing was here to stay?
Well, I think there's a few different spots, times in my life where I was social in a way. And I think the first time was probably back in the mid 90s when people just had a link at the bottom of the website that was like info@yourcompany.com. And back then I was managing corporate websites and I would read those emails. And so that was a way for me to communicate with the community that was actually looking at the website. So that was my first time. And then as the 2000s came along, I got laid off and I started finding out what LinkedIn was. And that was a whole new thing of like a news feed and connecting with people that you met online. And then most recently, and I think what's more important for your audience, I used to work at Yahoo and Motorola. And at both of those positions, I was building communities and engagements with consumers through social. So whether it was a promotional website that had some social features to it, or maybe it was a social campaign where we were promoting an event, an online event, or perhaps a blog post that we were promoting via different social networks or a YouTube video. So, those are short but long story.
So, Randy, when you first engage, let's say Yahoo, large company, it was one of the early leaders. During the just when the internet first came out, certainly one of the first search engines that came out, one would think that Yahoo, by its very nature, would have embraced social media, right? Because they were at the forefront of the internet. Is that the situation?
When I was there, so I was there from 2005 to 2008, and they had a huge community. They had, as everybody knows, Yahoo Mail, they had Yahoo Groups. So they had people kind of conversing back and forth via their website. And based upon those different products that they had these social tools, this social platform that other product groups could use. So my role was to find out what those tools were and to bring it to some of these promotional websites, these viral marketing websites that we were building at the time. So it was, right at the start, I think MySpace was around when I was there. And Facebook was just coming on board in terms of mainstream. I would say actually they were just only in college, so I couldn't even get on to Facebook back then. So yeah, I mean, it definitely was a lot of opportunities over there for social, and took advantage of it.
And so how did you take advantage of it? Because Yahoo doesn't really pop up at the top of my list of companies that, you know, built a social network. Although in some ways they had one of the largest social communities out there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, just because of my background, I was really big into community. I wanted people to communicate with each other in terms of the same people that were looking at the website. They had some commonalities with each other. So by finding these platforms within Yahoo that were either ratings and review products or user-generated tools in terms of people were, we had, for instance, a contest where people submit their favorite video. So I sourced a tool that could moderate the submissions coming in. People could vote on it, and then we would choose a winner. So it was, for most people, they're like, oh, let's just build a promotional website. Let's have a form. People sign up and be done with it. But there's just an inherent nature of people that are looking at a website that are seeing the interesting content and really trying to be able to make it kind of a social experience. Back then it wasn't just about like sharing on Facebook or whatever, but it was about how can you get the same people that are looking at the content to communicate with each other, whether through commenting, through ratings and reviews. That's how we went about building those type of promotions.
And then, so from there, you went to what feels like the opposite end of the spectrum. You go to Motorola, large, well-known for manufacturing of lots of devices. Not necessarily what you would think of as a social leader. How did you even have those conversations internally to have them understand the value of social media?
Yeah, no, it was very different. Yahoo was building these types of social tools, and Motorola was at that time was nowhere near adopting it, whether especially externally. They had some internal tools where an internet where people were communicating with each other then, and they were pretty forward in that. But externally, it was a very traditional PR company where only certain people were approved speakers, and you couldn't speak at that time via social, right? And it had to go through rounds of approvals. So for me, I went in interviewing for a job of at the time what I was working at was a developer program. So we were marketing apps and helping developers build apps for our smartphones and tablets. So I was in charge of our community and social strategy there. And when I first interviewed, I was not interviewing for a social media manager position or community manager position or anything like that. But I actually sold it within the interview. And you can check out my LinkedIn profile and see the testimonial from my boss. But she said that she didn't even think about that particular route for the program. And I sold her on that. And, we in terms of getting executive buy-in and things like that, I mean, there's definitely some lessons learned there. A lot of trial and error, but for me, it was a matter of two things. One was surfacing analytics and conversations that were happening. And the second thing is, unfortunately and unfortunately, is just taking a risk. I think with social, when you're starting at a big company, a small company, you need to take some risks in terms of just getting out there and seeing what people say. And if you get your hand slapped, there's pros and cons to that. But I think if that's the route that you want to go, if you want to be a game changer, I think that's definitely something that you have to, unfortunately, be a part of.
So I think there's probably a lot of our listeners out there who are working in companies and are probably in that position right now, Randy, which is, they clearly see significant amount of value in taking advantage of social media. They're not quite sure where to take that risk yet. So what was your thought process? How did you go about that? How did you decide what was worth taking a risk on and what was not?
Well, the team that I was on was, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then what surfaced from that?
Yeah. Well, the team that I was on was updating the website, so they were kind of a web marketing team. They worked with all the teams within the company to get content and went through the necessary approval process in terms of legal and PR and all the different teams. And so my first part was just, all right, I'm going to take that content and I'm just going to post it on our blog or post it via Twitter or Facebook. So there was nothing new that I was creating at the time, but it was just another channel to grow our audience. So that's how I essentially got approval. And then second was I started creating original content via video. And that was, at the time, if you remember the flip camera, right? You remember those guys?
Absolutely.
So I had a flip camera, and I went to a local conference in San Francisco, and I interviewed one of my coworkers. I said, what are we doing here? Who are you? Tell us about the products. And that turned into our first YouTube video. And so it was just to really, you know, you had to coach the people because a lot of people weren't familiar with the video and being interviewed in such an informal fashion. But since it was me and, you know, I'm a pretty easygoing guy and I could really have a conversation with them, a real conversation versus, you know, I'm not TechCrunch or trying to get, you know, the scoop out of them.
The gotcha so, questions, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about what questions we're going to ask. I talked to them about what questions we're going to ask, and we did a, you know, 1 or 2 minute video, and we're done with it. So all of a sudden, they're like, oh, wow, that was easy. I didn't know it was that easy. Okay, well, Randy, why don't you go interview this person over here? And so it just started where people started trusting me. I think trust is a huge thing. I mean, no matter what job that you go in. And, you know, with every job, you know, within the first, I would say, you know, 3 months, that's really what you're doing, right? You're learning all the new processes, all the new people, who really influences who, and then building trust. And so that's kind of what I did. And luckily it worked out.
So did you run into any interference at all? Because typically in a very large company, at least some of the companies that I've worked at, they've had formal, you know, teams that actually do corporate videos. And here you are with, you know, what, a $200 flip cam taking some videos on the fly. That kind of flies in the face of what they built this entire marketing communications team around.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was kind of a stepchild, and the quality wasn't there, but the in terms of the format of the video, but the quality of the content was key to them. And no one else was doing it. No one else was communicating to our developer audience this way. And so it was definitely, I would say, in the beginning, a lot of people were curious about, wow, you can just go ahead and do that, and no one else can, you know, you don't need to get approved. And you know, again, it's just about taking a risk. And as I think there's a gentleman that's pretty awesome on social, Gary Vaynerchuk, and he's all about just creating content and quality content. With no matter what camera you have or what type of format you have, you don't need to spend, you know, millions of dollars on some video. So I kind of took his best practices and just said, all right, let's just keep on creating content and interviewing people that matter to our audience, that the audience wants to hear, and see where it goes.
And then, so now all of a sudden you've got some content, you're posting it to YouTube, it's getting out there in your developer community. I assume some people within Motorola are starting to see this. What's the buzz at that point?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, there was a gentleman at Motorola at the time, it was Michael Amjorn, and he really helped internally evangelize the content that I was doing. We held these monthly, I guess you call them social media calls, to hear what all the different groups around the company were doing. And every month I would get on and say, hey, this is the content that we produced. Go check it out. So that was helpful in terms of evangelizing other people that were kind of risk takers and changers in the company. And then secondly, I created an internal blog that could evangelize that content to those internally. So not only did they see it on our external blog, but they also saw it on our internal social tools that, that Motorola had at the time. So, you know, I was trying to hit every single route. I think by having a blog and content that was out there, you know, every time we do a blog post, I would send it around to the team and say, hey, this is what we did. Go check it out. These are some of the comments that are happening. And that would get forwarded on to people within the company.
And so I think that's a great lesson to learn, which is tap into some of those other people in the organization that may be just as passionate as you are about maybe creating content that other people haven't necessarily been thinking about or haven't had the you know, just the time to think about creating unique content. And so as a result of that, what did you find? Did you find people were trying to submit their own content to you, or were they just publishing it on their own?
A couple different ways. A couple of things that happened. One was people realized I had a camera. As simple as that. Like, oh, wow, Randy has a camera at the company, and he can film us.
That's great.
That started a few side projects. I remember one time someone knew I had a camera and they wanted a company video for the all hands. And I created this, not necessarily a stop animation, but, got a little Android guy because we were supporting Android at the time and we filmed it all across the office and worked with teams across the US and I, you know, edited it on my computer just because I had Final Cut Pro. I had a camera. Wasn't even that good of a camera. It was more than a flip at that time. So, yeah, that was interesting.
And then people see that, and then all of a sudden, does that mean you become you know videographer guy or?
To answer your question. Yes, I definitely did become the content producer, no matter what the format was. I started getting budget on camera equipment, on audio equipment. So that was one thing. The second thing was, you know, I was only one person. And for me, I didn't want the limelight in terms of being on a blog and stuff like that. I wanted to find the people that were, you know, for me, we were working with a development program. So I wasn't, you know, I'm a marketing guy. And I guess my wife calls it the CGO, the chief gadget officer. But I was to actually code. So I wanted to empower people. And I think that's one of the key things with social and community is that you need to empower the employees within your company to produce that content. Give them the tools to do that. Whether it's the software, whether it's learning the right tone to produce via social. And so, you know, definitely people came to me asking, Randy, I heard you have XYZ, can you help me produce this for this particular audience? And there were also times where people wanted to produce it themselves, but by me building trust within the company, people knew that, okay, Randy is the guy for this type of developer content, social content, and he'll help you produce it. And so that's kind of how it came about.
Randy, we have to wrap up the show. This has been really fascinating. And if you were to kind of bubble up your experiences and recommend one thing that our audience could put into action today just to help them with their social media marketing efforts, what would that one thing be?
I think one of the key things is finding the influencer within your company. Who are the storytellers? Who are the ones that not only are good communicators, but can really relate to the particular audience that you're trying to reach, and use them as a personal brand, as an influencer to your external audience. So, try and find that person within the company. It's not always like the CEO, for instance. It could be someone else that is an influencer to the CEO. So that's my one recommendation. Out of all this, you know, it's not about the tools or anything like that, but it's about finding the storyteller and influencer within your company.
That's very good advice, because, you know, we always think that there's, you know, the corporate spokesperson, the official sanctioned spokesperson for the company. Yeah. And the reality is there's other people in the company that are just so passionate about the products and the services that they actually make really good content people. Because, you know, the passion comes out, whether it's in the written word, in a video, in an audio podcast, whatever. Yeah, it's great, great advice. Randy, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they go about finding you?
Sure. So I'm on Twitter, at DJ Kassar. That's DJKSAR. And then you can find me on LinkedIn. Just do a search for Randy Kassar. That's KSAR. And otherwise, my email is rksar@landonc.com. That's Landon, LANDONC.com.
Randy, thank you very much for coming on this week's show. And to everyone else, thank you for listening. And be sure to come back and visit us next week for another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network. Brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gagalamp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR Podcast Community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.